Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Ulama Profile from myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And alhamdulillah, today for the first time in a very long time, I'm broadcasting from the Radio Islam studios in Lanesia. And it's been a while also since we've come on air. It's been some time, I think, from before the month of Ramadan, a week or so. And thereafter the month of Ramadan, and then I was on leave for the better part of till late. So it's been almost 2 months since we've had an Ulama Profile, and some people were asking, Morana, is the Ulama Profile program still on, or is it off, or is it changed? No, alhamdulillah, it's been going well, it's been going good. Many good things are happening with the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that also, we profile, we speak, we discuss the lives of our great scholars, people that have served the community. And today we are doing Hafiz Mahmood rahmatullahi alayhi, who was from Pietermaritzburg, and we have some of the family coming on, some of the nephews, some of his colleagues coming on. And my colleague Morana Shakir will come on now inshallah on air. We will get him on air. Morana Shakir is the nephew, Morana Shakir Hansa, and he will also be speaking with regards to his uncle. There's quite a few guests that we have on here as well. We have Morana Suleiman Bamji, we have Morana Sko Imam also that will be coming on. You can send us a message and inshallah we will try and read it on air. The number is 071-878-9748, and inshallah ta'ala we will try and read your messages on air. Some messages have started coming on already, a bit of a lengthy message, perhaps we could start with that one. And it's written by Brother Muhammad Joseph. He says, tribute to our beloved Ustad, neighbor and work colleague. Words and tears will not do justice to what a gem we have lost. We on earth are in tears with what we have lost, while the heavens are smiling with what they have gained. And Ustad Hafiz Saab had great love for the Quran, as well as for his students. Memories and stories of being a profound student, proud neighbor and a work colleague are too many to mention. The ink will dry up, pages will run out, but the memories and the stories will not end. To mention a few, he says, as a youngster I was growing up, I was mischievous, I was naughty, not the easiest of youngsters to deal with. Hafiz Saab's patience, his love, his hard approach, which at times was difficult to swallow as a youngster. Today when I look down memory lane, I am ever grateful and indebted to Hafiz Saab. Being a neighbor to the masjid and to Hafiz Saab had its advantages as well as its disadvantages. So I thought at the time of growing up. The days I was reluctant to go for classes, my mother would send a message and he that I do not want to come to classes. Being the neighbor, Hafiz Saab would come, pick me up, take me to the class, give me a hiding in my house, and waiting for me to get dressed, drag me to the madrasa, and he would keep me in as late as midnight until he was satisfied I knew my work. Again, he would keep me as late as midnight until he was satisfied I knew my work. One particular incident, Hafiz Saab came into the swimming pool, pulled me out, gave me a spanking, and from there took me to class. As a neighbor, and on many occasions when the alarm would go off, he would risk everything in the dark to make sure that we were safe as neighbors. As a colleague, he would always ensure that our dealings are above board and done by the book. One day Hafiz Saab had passed on, was the day the salaries get paid. Hafiz Saab's assistants had to complete the salary payout, which Hafiz Saab had started the week before. The assistant noticed that Hafiz Saab had short paid himself, and called to inquire what should be done. When I questioned the assistant as to why this was, his response was, Hafiz Saab had a record of all the time taken off during work, the times he arrived late, the times he left early, and accordingly he would short pay himself. And these are the messages that have come on already, and these are the messages that people have sent, and we will take it inshallah. We have our first guest, Morana Shakir Hansa. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Morana, jazakallah for taking out your time this evening. It's an uncle of yours that has passed on. Perhaps we could just start and we could just go with an introduction to who we are profiling this evening, Morana.
Okay, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners. You know, Morana, before commenting, I would like to say that there are many ni'mat, there are many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we enjoy. And very often it happens that only after the ni'mat, after the bounty is lost, we realize the true value of it. I think for us as the family, the community of Pietermaritzburg, the students, etc., we can safely say this, that Hafiz Mahmoud Dawda rahimahullah was a ni'mat like this. But only after we have lost him have we come to realize that what a great bounty it was to have Hafiz Saab amongst ourselves. Hafiz Mahmoud Dawda rahimahullah was born in 1960 in Ladysmith. Hafiz Saab's mother was from Ladysmith. Hafiz Saab's father, his name was Ismail Suleiman Dawda. He was from Denhauser. He passed away in July 1995. Hafiz Saab's mother, Hajira, she passed away not so long ago in January 2015. Hafiz Mahmoud Dawda rahimahullah started his hijj in 1971 at the age of 11. And he did his entire hijj by Hazrat Maulana Ismail Sakrada Saab Muhammad Barakatuhu. Hazrat Maulana Ismail Saab at that time was in Ladysmith. And thereafter, he moved to Fed. I'd spoken on the phone yesterday morning to Maulana Ismail Saab, and Maulana had mentioned that Hafiz Saab took about 2.5 years to do his hijj. He mentioned that Hafiz Saab was very, very hardworking. He was very, very consistent in his work. So he completed his hijj in 1973. In February 1977, at the age of 17, Hafiz Saab had traveled to India. He had spent a little while in Bargeshwar, and thereafter he came to Darul Uloom Deoband. And he had studied there in Darul Uloom Deoband during the Alim class for just over 2 years. And he then returned to South Africa in 1979. And, you know, this I can say, I can recall myself hearing on many occasions from Hafiz Saab that he always regretted not having completed the Alim class. But the desire to learn, the thirst for knowledge, remained with Hafiz Saab throughout his life.
Gee.
Even, you know, after in Pietermaritzburg, when there were a few ulama, Mawlana Abdul Rashid Goga Saab and Mawlana Abdul Aziz, they had commenced Arabic classes at the masjid. And Hafiz Saab had joined these classes. One of the students even mentioned that, you know, our own ustad was now a fellow student with us in the class. There were even other classes that Hafiz Saab would attend. And, you know, this thirst, this desire for knowledge remained with him. My aunt had mentioned that I think it was the day before Hafiz Saab had passed away. Hafiz Saab passed away on Monday, and that Sunday Hafiz Saab had purchased some kitab, some books to study. So this was, you know, Hafiz Saab's thirst for knowledge, that although, you know, formally he hadn't completed his Alim class, but throughout his life the thirst and desire to learn remained with him. You know, there are many examples of this. We won't go into too much of detail. So this was Hafiz Saab's, you know, knowledge and the effort that he made in this regard. After Hafiz Saab returned from India, then there were many different things that Hafiz Saab engaged in for the sake of earning rozi, for the sake of sustenance. When it came to the Deen Khidmat, this commenced in 1989-1990, in Denhauser, which was Hafiz Saab's hometown. Now, you know, Maulana, although the Dini Khidmat formally started at this time, but in this interim period also, Hafiz Saab would perform the Taraweeh Salah in many different places. He had, you know, led the Taraweeh Salah in Hawick, in Pietermaritzburg, and other places. But formally, you know, Dini Khidmat started in 1989-1990 in Denhauser. My aunt had also mentioned to me that there were two things that happened in Hafiz Saab's life that, you know, became the reason for his change. One was while in living in Gauteng, there was a burglary that the family, you know, went through.
Mm-hmm.
And the second was an accident. Noah is Mahmoud Sahab, many of them would have noticed that Hafiz Sahab's little finger, the baby finger, I think it was on the right hand, was bent. He couldn't straighten it. This was, you know, caused in that that injury that he had suffered in that accident. So my aunt mentioned that these were two things that became the turning point in his life. And this is when in Den Hauser he started Imamat, and he also started teaching at the Maktab. And together with this, in his own time, Hafiz Sahab had started a kids class. Now details of this I won't go into, inshallah, we'll touch on this when he comes on. So this continued in Den Hauser until in 1984, Hafiz Sahab moved to Pietermaritzburg, where he joined the Mountain Rise Masjid and Madrasa. So here also, Hafiz Sahab made Imamat, and he taught in the Maktab, and in his own time, he started a Hifz class. This continued for some time, until, because of, you know, due to the demand, etc., Hafiz Sahab excused himself from the Maktab, and he then dedicated himself into running a fully-fledged Hifz class. And as we know, Hafiz Sahab continued with this, with istiqamah, with steadfastness, great punctuality, for 24 years until his demise.
Subhanallah. I just want to one clarification. Mona Ahmed Akku, alhamdulillah, was the one that initiated the program and managed to get the guest on, etc. And he just told me that the first message that was there is Morana Shuaib, Yusuf Morana Maaf. I didn't know you were Alim. Please do forgive me for that. It was just saying Muhammad Yusuf. We have Morana Shuaib Ahmad on the line. Morana has been a companion of Morana from the very early stages. And he was with him, if I recall correctly, in Den Hauser as well. And thereafter in Mount Rise. Morana, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Maulana Ubaidullah, and to all the listeners of Radio Islam. Alhamdulillah, I heard the introduction of Maulana Shakir. And I would just like to take it from that point onwards.
Please, Maulana.
My association with Hafiz Sahab, rahmatullah alayh, began around 1990-1991. When at that point in time, Hafiz Sahab was, as Maulana Shakir mentioned, he was the appointed imam in the Den Hauser Masjid. Now, that was my hometown at the time. So, apart from being the appointed imam, Hafiz Sahab also served in the Madrasa Maktab as an ustad. And together with this, Hafiz Sahab also assisted in the business of his father's that was present in Den Hauser at the time. Now, Hafiz Sahab, in his personal capacity, if we notice that throughout his life, he always wished to maintain the ta'alluq with the Quran, ta'alluq with the people of ilm, and he was an embodiment throughout his life of, you know, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. That Hafiz Sahab strove his entire life to be from amongst those that learned the Quran and taught the Quran to others. So, Mawlana Ubaidullah, I was amongst the first group of students that Hafiz Sahab took on in his spare time for the purpose of teaching the Hifz. Now, I just want to highlight a few qualities of Hafiz Sahab that he had maintained throughout his life in his khidmat of deen, and I'm sure many of your other guests also, his associates, will also attest to this fact that Hafiz Sahab's dedication and commitment to the khidmat of deen was unparalleled, and this is something that he had maintained throughout his life. So, just a brief introduction into the Hifz classes at that point in time in Den Hauser, because Hafiz Sahab was engaged in teaching in the madrasa, so the classes for Hifz used to be held at every morning at his house. That used to be from around 4:30 in the morning to around 6:30, 12 to 7. From there we used to go home, we used to get ready for school, and we used to head off to school, and the classes used to continue after Hafiz Sahab completed his maktab teaching in the afternoon, so from about 6 p.m. to about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the evening.
Sure.
Now to just give you an example of Hafiz Sahab's commitment to teaching the Quran, that with Hafiz Sahab, after a few months, he found there was an initial group of about 4 or 5 students. And Hafiz Sahab found that because of the early morning start, that around 4:30 in the morning, and in Den Hauser, the winters are sometimes very cold, that he was not getting the required dedication and punctuality that was required to run in his class. So, subhanAllah, if you look at Hafiz's, the solution that he provided for this is, you know, mind-boggling. If you think about it in today's time, that Hafiz was teaching his class in his personal capacity, and the solution to this, to attain the punctuality and the commitment from all the students, he made a suggestion that the four students that were doing his by him, we should come over and sleep at his place every night.
Allahu
at his house. Now, at that point in time, Hafiz was living in a humble three-bedroom house. And he had four students, so basically he called us, we would sleep over at his house from Sunday night through to Friday night. Besides Saturday nights, at which we would sleep at home. So the four students were assigned two students to a room, and Hafiz and his then young family with two children, he had two children at the time, all shared a single bedroom in his house.
Allah.
So subhanAllah, Hafiz had given preference to his students over his own personal comfort. And this was an attribute and a quality of him that he had displayed throughout his entire life. And together with this, Hafiz had taken the responsibility now to wake us up in the morning for classes, to prepare us for classes, and you know, he had taken the burden off our parents at the same time. So this was a dedication and commitment that Hafiz had maintained throughout his life in the khidmat of Deen. He went the extra mile, and you know, if you look at Hafiz life in everything that he had done, He tried to attain that type of commitment. He demanded it from himself as well as from his students, and that dedication. And you know, if you look at the riwayat from our teachings of Deen, that Inna Allah katab al ihsan ala kulli shay, that Allah Taala prescribes perfection in everything that you do, and Hafiz was an embodiment of this. Be it in his teaching, be it in his relationship with his students, be it in his imamat, be it in his madrasa, in everything that Hafiz did, Hafiz rahmatullah alayhi, he did it to the utmost, to the best of his ability. So that just shows, you know, the first incident. I just wish to highlight a few incidents from my association with Hafiz.
Please, Mona.
That was the first incident that shows his commitment to teaching the Quran. Despite, you know, maybe against, you know, his personal preferences, you know, he left that aside. He put the preferences of his students at the forefront. Then I'll just continue. That continued for about 3 years, Mulana. We lived at his house for 6 days in a week. We stayed there, and we progressed, alhamdulillah, with our his classes. And towards the end of 1993, maybe early 1994, the opportunity opened up for Hafiz to move to Pietermaritzburg, also for the khidmat of Deen. Maulana?
Gee, we listening, Maulana?
Now, I wish to highlight now, again, Hafiz dedication and his commitment to teaching. At that point in time, Hafiz, I was, from the four students that he had, I was the furthest, I had progressed in my years. It was around 22, 23 paras at the time. So Hafiz, you know, one day very jokingly, he mentioned to me that, you know, I'll be moving to Pietermaritzburg, inshallah, and I want you to come and stay with me.
Allah.
So I took it as a joke at the time, and, you know, I agreed, and not thinking much of it. However, a few weeks later, Hafiz got back to me and he said that, you know what, everything has been confirmed, and I've arranged your schooling and everything in Pietermaritzburg, and in 2 weeks' time, you'll be leaving, so inshallah, you know, you're coming with me.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, you know, it was shocking for me at the time to leave everything that was familiar and, you know, everything that was near and dear to me. And I displayed some sort of hesitation. And, you know, I told Hafiz that inshallah I need to think about it. And at that point, I noticed the disappointment and the concern, you know, on Hafiz face. Because a lot of his effort, a lot of his time, a lot of his commitment had gone into teaching me the Quran. And, you know, definitely it's a lot of hard work. So Hafiz then spoke to my own father. And after making mashura, he managed to convince my father. And my father came to me and said to me that, listen, there's no two ways about it. You have to go. You know, for everything that Hafiz has done for you, you just have to you have to make the sacrifice now, and you should go with Hafiz Saab. And in that way, I moved to Pietermaritzburg with Hafiz Saab in 1994. Then again, you know, to show Hafiz Saab's commitment and dedication, Mawlana, I moved with Hafiz Saab to Peter Maritzburg. He took me in not just as a student, but as a son as well. You know, one is having a student and taking the responsibility of teaching him Quran. That is is great in itself. But taking a student, bringing him into your home, living, so taking responsibility for the living arrangements, for the food, for the well-being, for the schooling. This is something that Hafiz Saab took on himself personally, you know. It is something that definitely, you know, is unparalleled and definitely, you know, cannot be repaid for myself, the ihsan that Hafiz Saab has showered upon me. Then again, when he moved to Peter Maritzburg, Hafiz Saab lived in a three-bedroom house. From those bedrooms, one bedroom was assigned the madrasa classroom in his house. In his house, for the iftar. So together with myself, that I was living with him full time, there were three or four students from Peter Maritzburg that used to come and go every day. So in his house, one bedroom was assigned for the madrasa. The second bedroom was for myself because I lived with him. And the third bedroom, Hafiz Saab, and then himself and his young family of three children all shared a single bedroom.
Allah.
Again, you see Hafiz Saab putting preference for his students, preference for his madrasa over himself. And this continued, Maulana, for a period of 1 year. I, alhamdulillah, managed to complete my hijj with Hafiz Saab during the year of 1994. And the amazing thing is that, you know, if you look at the dedication and the commitment of Hafiz Saab, he continued serving the community of Peter Maritzburg from 1994 continuously up to his demise in 2018, just, you know, very recently.
Gee.
So continuous dedication to his imamat, to his maktab, to his hijj students is what Hafiz Saab displayed. And another important aspect to note, that if you see from the lifestyle of Hafiz Saab rahmatullah alayh, that from the time that I remember we had moved to Peter Maritzburg in 1994, Hafiz Saab's residence in Apollo Road, that is opposite the masjid, at the time of Hafiz Saab's demise, he was still residing in the same house.
Allah.
Now, you know, generally amongst us, you know, our community, generally everyone in life, they wish to upgrade and progress as they progress in life. And Hafiz Saab had the opportunity to move to a bigger house, to move to, you know, to upgrade, so-called, in life. However, Hafiz Saab chose to remain in the same place for his entire duration in Peter Maritzburg, simply because of the proximity to the masjid, that he felt that this is something that definitely cannot be replaced.
Maulana, tell me, you've spent a lot of time and we've heard so much amazingly about his khidmat to the Quran al-Kareem and his dedication to the Quran and the dedicated that he had for his students, etc. Tell us something personal you witnessed while staying with him. As a person in his informal home, with his family, you in and out of there, what was something that stood out for you at home from Hafiz Saab's life?
SubhanAllah, Maulana, you know, the fact that you mentioned that, you know, those that have some experience with the hijj class will understand that, you know, sometimes in the class itself, in the hijj class, things sometimes get a bit heated, you know. When you don't know your work, you know, all the boys, you know, you find that first one, the second one, the third one, all of them, you know, you find that they don't know their work on a particular day. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's some sort of discipline that needs to be meted out, that sort of thing. But Hafiz Saab was, you know, he was aware of the fact of my situation living with him, because, you know, it's not a normal madrasa situation where when you finish classes and you go home and you're free and your mind is off your work for the day. But Hafiz Saab, subhanAllah, once we stepped out of the classroom of the hijj class and around the supper table or on our, you know, visits out of the house or whatever it is, nothing from the class was brought into those discussions, you know. Hafiz Saab was able to switch between the ustad, being the ustad in the madrasa. Hafiz Saab's humility was such that he could relate to you on a level as a ustad and as on a level as a friend. So one felt that Hafiz Saab was very easily approachable, and all those that have an association with him will attest to his soft and humble demeanor. You know, always smiling, very approachable, you know. and together with his discipline that he meted out in the iftars, but alhamdulillah, he was a very approachable and very soft and very caring person.
Mawlana, you've given us so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, grant the people of Mountain Rise ni'mah al-badal, and grant the ummah people that have sacrificed so much for Quran, so that it may once again be alive in the homes of the people, the ulama, the communities. And it's people's sacrifices like these that he keeps the Quran and the environment and the huffaz and the ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless Hafizah for all his khidmat to the Quran as well.
Ameen, ameen, Mawlana.
Mawlana, before you go, I want you to listen on air. We're playing a clip of Hafizah. For those that know, probably listen to it, close your eyes, understand who you've lost. I wish I could meet people like this more and more and benefit from them. We ask our engineer Usama to play us the clip of Hafizah.
Ameen. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نظرة وسرورا وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا متكئين فيها على الأرائك لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا.
Obviously, if those people that know the voice and read Salah behind Hafizah for the better part of 20 years, just bring back a flurry of memories, you know, when you go in the masjid and you hear the voice, or you're sitting at the radio and you hear the voice, just brings back a flurry of memories. Indeed, the community of Pietermaritzburg have a void that cannot be filled. My memories of Hafizah start from my childhood, growing up in the Mountain Rise Masjid. His beautiful voice of reciting Quran still rings in my ears as we speak. In my primary years of studying the Alim course was the time that Hafizah had the greatest impression in my life. The support and the dua he gave me as a young student when I started giving bayan is something I will be indebted to him forever. His aspect of khidmat was outstanding. The month of Ramadan that just passed, when we were having meals after all the musallis had eaten, few of our ulama had sat down to sit to eat. Hafizah started serving the youngsters like us, and we insisted that he eat, and he refused till we were all served. This was from Mawlana Ahmad Akko, and the clip that we just played now was the Eid morning Fajr Salah that Hafizah read. Hafiz Qasim Park sends a message from Pietermaritzburg. He says that he shared some of his thoughts already with Mawlana Shakir Hansa in Mawlana Ahmad as well, but he's pleading to us. He say, let us respect and let us honor the ulama that we have that are still living, and there are many of them that are serving the deen of Allah for the better part of 30, 40 years, and many of them are ill, and they are in that part of the age whereby it is very close, whereby they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us all try and make sure that we benefit from the ulama before they appear on the ulama profile. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the understanding. Mawlana Shakir, we've heard quite a bit from Mawlana Ahmad. Obviously, he's been there for some time. He spent much time in the life of Mawlana, and he's been a person that has been close to him both as a student and subsequently as a colleague in Imamat as well. But as a nephew, Mawlana, what are some of the things that you had picked up, and what were some of the things that you had seen in the life of Mawlana Ahmad?
I think that they performed on Eid morning, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, just bringing that memory, you know, on that Eid morning, I was actually in the Qabristan, and, you know, going to the different kubur of the family, and I couldn't recall where Hafizab's mother's qabr was.
Right.
And I was in the Qabristan, and I had phoned him, and I had to ask him, you know, where his mother's qabr was, little realizing at that time that in 10 days' time, I would be standing by Hafizab's qabr. Listening to Mawlana Shoaib Sahab, and, you know, talking of the students, you know, on the day that Hafizab had passed away, after we had brought the body back after making ghusl, it was in the early hours of the morning, and, you know, one was the sadness that we felt as a family, but for me, seeing those students of his at that time, you know, there were so many of them who, some of them were getting ready for class, and they got the news that the ustad had passed away. There were some that actually, you know, came to the class only to be told that our ustad has passed away.
Allahu Akbar.
Seeing grief on those students, it was really touching. You know, even after the burial, after Fajr, when they were sitting around the body, after the burial, when they were around the grave, and, you know, speaking to some of the students also, it was really touching.
That is just, Mawlana, it's indicative of how much the ustads, and in all ustads, I think, I must say, those that are doing service for those in the hifz class, etc., they sacrifice their qurbani. We can't understand how much they give. And truly what you say is indicative in the life of Hafizab, and obviously those students that were still studying or worst when he had passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the ni'am al-badal, inshallah.
Amen.
What we're going to do, we have the next guest online. Hafizab, his nephew is on air with us. Hafizab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullah, Mulana, to yourself and the fellow guests and listeners. You know, listening to the clip that you just played, like Mawlana Shakir also said, just brings back so much of memories of Hafizab. And he was the sound of mountain rice. You know, when you associate the sound of the Haram, you think of Sudais. When you think of Medina, you think of Huzaisli. And when you think of mountain rice, there's nothing else that comes to your mind besides our beloved Hafizab. So it's really a happy, sad occasion right now where we think about his life, but we also lament on the fact that, you know, we won't hear that voice of his ever again.
No, definitely, it is something that many people won't experience, because obviously that voice is not there. But obviously the legacy that he has left, and those that became Hafiz by him, and those that studied under him, when they take that musalla, that continuation of his service is something which is ever present, I suppose, in the life of those people that will read Salah there. But what is some of your experiences that you had witnessed on a personal level with Hafiz Mahmood rahmatullahi alayh?
So, at the onset, Mulana, I just want to say jazakallah for granting us this opportunity. He was such an individual that touched the lives of many people, and for us to be speaking about him here is really something that's very humbling. So tonight, inshallah, I'll try and break up three of his very salient characteristics in three buckets to ensure that for us it's something that's actionable and something that we can practice upon, and I'll try and illustrate them with some examples as well. So the first one of these salient qualities was that Hafizab was a selfless, humble, and he was a person who had this mentality of servant leadership. Hafiz Vahdat Rahmatullah Alayh was a selfless individual. Every one of his undertakings, his motives, centered around the fulfilling the orders of Allah Ta'ala. His nature was so unassuming. He was always in the shadows. He never liked the limelight. He preferred to do his khidmah in the darkness of the night, and he didn't do it for any show. There was no riya present in any of his actions, and he was the furthest away from being sanctimonious in any way. The extent of his selflessness and his humility can be seen in various manifestations of his everyday life, and Mawlana Shaib and Mawlana Shakir have also mentioned quite a few examples of this. But I have one specific example that, you know, I'd like to mention. So Habzab used to clean the Hibs classroom at the Mountain Rise Madrasa, where he taught for many years himself. Sometimes he would bring his own vacuum cleaner, and he would ensure that every inch of the class was spotless. Now Mawlana, to put this into perspective, right, think of the role that Hafiz Vahdat played in this madrasa masjid environment. He was someone who was teaching in the masjid and madrasa for decades, right? He could have easily asked someone else to clean it, as all the other classrooms in the madrasa used to get cleaned. Or he could even ask one of his students to do so on his behalf, even if he wasn't there. But this was not his nature. So besides his classroom, he cleaned the masjid on many occasions. And one amazing thing that Mulana Bamji mentioned was that he was so grateful that Allah Ta'ala had granted him the opportunity to clean the haram. So when he went to Masjid al-Aqsa a few years ago, he was so honored to have cleaned the haram, and he didn't see any menial task as degrading. Rather, he saw it as an honor that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon him such an ability to serve others. Now, moving on to his servant leadership mentality. Now, this servant leadership mentality concept gets thrown around in the corporate environment, right? These are references made to, you know, brilliant business minds, yes, or yes, great CEOs, etc., etc. But now, Hafizab, with his selflessness, he immediately brings to the fore his servant leadership mentality. Now, a servant leader is someone who is in an esteemed position. Now, Hafizab, obviously, in his case, he was an imam for over 24 years. He was a man in his 50s. He had been at the helm of, you know, many students completing the Quran. And this was a man cleaning the masjid himself. So to put it into perspective, it makes one think, really, this is nothing ordinary. Subhanallah, what an individual. Another example of his selflessness and servant leadership mentality was apparent every year on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. And he would go to great lengths to ensure that, you know, he had the best animals. And in fact, soon after Ramadan, his focus would shift entirely towards Qurbani. Now, you know, on the day of Eid, there's a lot that goes on. But before the day of Eid, besides all the preparation and the drudgery that goes on, Hafizab's hardworking nature and selflessness would manifest itself. He wouldn't shy away from any task. He would handle the animal. He would skin the animal. He would even clean the insides of the animal and clean the area outside after everything was done. He was always at the forefront. Now, as a young person, I used to wonder, and we used to wonder, how did Hafizab manage to get so much of work done? Such was his ubiquitous nature. He showed compassion and love to the animals as well. And if he was the one slaughtering, the animals would have the pleasure of listening to Hafizab recite in its ear, and wallahi, that animal would be calm, it would be relaxed, it would be subdued. He attended to all the aspects of Qurbani with great enthusiasm, because he recognized that Qurbani was such a great ibadah. The second aspect, Mawlana, is that, and is three, so this is the second one. Good mannerism.
Just be a little bit quick, Hafizab, we have two more guests coming online.
Okay, so it's good mannerism and his love for children. So he was the epitome of good manners. Everything that he undertook was represented by the highest morals and manners. In my experience, what touched me the most over the years was that, as my ustad, Hafizab would have an emphatic amount of patience with me and other students in the Hibs class, like Mawlana Shaib mentioned.
Yes.
But what impressed me was that quite often we used to test these patients in the Hibs class. But if I had to see him later on in my capacity as an SU, I wouldn't have any fears about Hafizab rebuking me or alluding to my performance in the Hibs class from earlier that day or week. It was a really exemplary quality. Also, his love for children. Children loved him and he loved them. And his nature was such that if he had to meet kids, he would recognize their presence, he would address them by their names, he would offer salam to them, and he would speak to them in a social environment where often we as adults tend to neglect this. And the last aspect, Mana, is that the love and the respect that Hafizab had for the Quran and the Masjid. Hafizab didn't just teach the Quran. He loved the Quran, and that's why he taught it. Very simple. Hafizab was truly a man of the Quran. You know, apart from his exemplary behavior, I used to test him quite often in Ramadan, and he rarely, rarely, rarely made a mistake. And even if he did, he would recite that portion in Salah to perfect it once again. You know, talking about those who honor the symbols of Allah and respect the symbols of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يُعَذِمْ شَرَعَيْرُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. So whoever honors the symbols of Allah does so out of the taqwa in his heart. Now, this example that I want to share with you is that Hafsa had immense respect for the Quran and he had immense respect for the Mus'haf, right? The physical copy of the Quran. Quite often, if a student had a Mus'haf that was in need of repair, Hafsa was at the forefront of repairing it. And one example was that he encouraged his students. Now, if you think of madrasa environment, everyone sitting on the floor, there's a desk, the Quran's on the desk at the bottom. He would advise his students to walk in small strides, slowly, in order for their feet not to rise up above those desks, so that, you know, the Mus'haf is always above their feet. SubhanAllah.
Yes.
These are some of the saintly qualities, and, you know, we make dua for Hafsab. We honestly, we really do miss him. We make shukran to Allah for blessing us with Hafsab's presence, for allowing him to develop us as young boys. His nature crafted our ideologies, our mannerisms, our work ethic, and many other aspects of our lives. We make dua that Allah elevate him and unite us with him in the Akhirah.
Amen. Jazakallah so much for your time, Hafizab.
Jazakallah.
Amen, inshallah. I have a message here from Abdurrahman Goga, the co-imam in The Neighbor. He says, I wish to mention 5 points. The hadith that all Muslim is the one, al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi, that a Muslim, a true believer, is that being of which the others are absolutely safe from any harm of his tongue and his hand, and Hafizab embodied this to the T. The other one, he says that a mu'min man aminahu an-nas ala dima'ihim wa amwalihim, that a true believer is that one whom the people are saved with regards to their wealth and with regards to their life. Hafizab always respected the wealth of others. The third point, Maulana Abdurrahman Goga says, Hafizab was a model of punctuality. The fourth thing he says, although he did not give the Jummah bayans, he used to give many ideas and topics that were relevant for the community and the Muslim at large. And the last example, Maulana Abdurrahman Goga says, an example of the best neighbor that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised, and this was Hafizab. He said, my final words, he was an unsung hero of our time, and most definitely, Maulana Abdul Rashid Goga, and he was most definitely with regards to that, an embodiment of this, and the sentiments are coming. We have one more guest on the line before we take the last, we ask Maulana Shakir to wrap up, and that we have Maulana Suleiman Bamji. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Maulana, assalamu alaikum. Maulana Suleiman, assalamu alaikum. Okay, maybe Maulana Suleiman is not yet on, inshallah ta'ala. Maulana Shakir, just wrapping up, I just want to just maybe give a brief background of some of the listeners have said, as well as yourself, and some of the messages. It is said that Maulana was born in 1960 in Ladysmith. In 1971, Maulana started his hifz. For about 2.5 years, Maulana completed there at Maulana Ismail Katrada, Maulana completed under him. And thereafter, Maulana went to study in Tarkeshwar for a while, Falahi Darain. Thereafter, Maulana spent some time in Darulum Dioban as well, about 2 years. When Maulana returned, he started in Denhauser and thereafter subsequently moved to the Mountain Rise Masjid in Pietermaritzburg. One of Maulana's students and thereafter co-imam as well, Maulana Ahmad, was saying that he would actually stay at Maulana's place in Denhauser as well as in Pietermaritzburg, just so that he was able to complete his hifz. Maulana Joseph also said sometimes his classes would go till 12 o'clock at night. And he said, I remember the incident Maulana Shoaib was mentioning, Maulana Joseph was mentioning, that Maulana took me out of the swimming pool, he whacked me, and thereafter he took me to the hifz class. And obviously that was Maulana's dedication towards the Quran al-Kareem. Maulana's nephew also made mention with regards to Maulana's respect, and perhaps one noteworthy thing for us, the fact that being in the imam, the fact that being the the ustad of the Hifz class, he would clean the Hifz class himself, and he would make sure that the Hifz class was kept clean, sometimes to the effect that he would also bring a vacuum cleaner from home. And this was some of his qualities that he had. Maulana Ahmed Aku says, 24 years of consecutive imamat, absenteeism could be counted with a hand, and he was never late. Masuliman Bamji, we have you back on the line. Assalamu alaikum. Mawlana Sulaiman, assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me, Mawlana?
Ji, we can hear you loud and clear, Mawlana. Your input to this evening's program, Mawlana.
Jazakallah, Mawlana, for having me and giving us the opportunity.
What a pleasure, Mawlana. We have a few minutes. If Mawlana can just tell the listeners of your experience with Hafizab, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, I was very, very fortunate in the last 2 or 3 years to have spent some time in the company of Hafizab. And from the point of view with regards to the musallis, I would like to mention one thing that I found which left an indelible impression on my heart and on the hearts of many, is that whoever Hafizab came into contact with, he touched every person in a different way. Many of the musallis will come up to me, and each one would mention a different incident in the life of Hafizab. Sometimes maybe it was just a smile, sometimes just a salam, etc., or sometimes a few kind words. In fact, there was one musalli that because of the traffic, he couldn't make it for the janaza salah. He was stuck in traffic, and it just hurt him quite a bit, and he mentioned this. He said that just few days when he was in hospital, Hafizab had come to visit him. So these were the little things that Hafizab would do in the lives of others that left an indelible impression on those that he came into contact with. Another thing that really impressed me in my little stay that I had with Hafizab was he was an extremely humble person. I'm much, much more younger than Hafizab, you know, and actually I would say I could be fit to be his son as well. But really he would interact with me in such a humble manner, in such a humble way, that actually would make me feel shy at times. His dedication to deen was such that in the morning when we have a tafsir program, etc., he would actually sit with the Quran Sharif open and following the tafsir in that particular manner as well. Now, alhamdulillah, we've spoken a lot about Hafizab's commitment, dedication, but there's something that I've learned from his life, and I'm sure many would share the sentiment as well. One was he was extremely dedicated, but over and above that, Mawlana, he was extremely passionate. Whatever he did, whether it was his teaching, and now, you know, it's being the month of, we are coming closer to the month of Hajj and Qurban, etc. So, obviously, I had the relationship with Hafizab in terms of being my co-imam. We worked together, alhamdulillah. And I also had the good opportunity and good fortune of being his neighbor. Obviously, me being much more younger, I have younger children, etc. So you can imagine the noise and whatever have you. But never a day did Hafizab, forget about complain, never a day did he even frown or, you know, show some sort of, you know, discomfort on his face, etc. Actually, the children in the neighborhood, the children in the area, all quite close to him as well. But when it comes to passion for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that being the close to the days of Qurbani, our last few moments with Hafizab, it was the Saturday prior to his passing away. So myself, my son, and Maulana Zahir Ansar, his nephew, and Hafizab's grandson as well, little Yusuf, that we always, whenever I was mentioning to Yusuf's father as well, whenever we see him, it brings memories of Hafizab, because we always picture that, you know, Hafizab moving with his grandson, sitting with him in the masjid, etc. So we went to see some Qurbani sheep, etc. And the passion with which he would carry out this amal, this great amal of deen, that he would go see the animals, inspect the animals, and we would do Qurbani here in our yard at the back. And he would go to such levels that carrying out this great ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even the children in the neighborhood, even the children in the different homes, etc., all of them would partake, and he would assist, he would gladly show them, he would guide, etc. And he made the Qurbani this great amal. He really put the love of this amal in all of our hearts, and he made this such a beautiful action, such a beautiful part of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made us look forward to it. There was still like about 2.5 months to Qurbani, but yet there was this eagerness, etc. When Maulana had passed away, so Fataziyat, his ustad, had come and his ustad is amongst the senior ulama of the country as well. Allah give him long life and afiyat. Maulana mentioned that he found three exceptional qualities in Hafiz Sahab. And he said that, you know, a person to make khidmat of deen in one place for 24 years, and for so many years he's serving Quran, so many students have completed by him, etc. He said that he found three things. This is a quick summary of what Mona Katrada had mentioned. He said three exceptional qualities he found in Hafiz Sahab. One was that he had great respect for his parents. We find even Hafiz Sahab's mother, Rahimahullah, Allah Fala Kabarul Noor, towards the end of her life as well, Hafiz Sahab made a lot of khidmat for her. And he mentioned that he personally witnessed the respect that Hafiz Sahab had for his father.
Okay.
And he said Hafiz Sahab was very dedicated to his studies. And he said the third thing he found in Hafiz Sahab that, in his opinion, took him to great levels, was that he was extremely humble. And this is something that all the musallis, wherever you meet, everybody would share the same sentiments, that indeed Hafiz Sahab was a very, very humble human being. So I would just like to end off, or rather say, this is what I would take from the life of Hafiz Sahab, and if we all could bring this in our lives, myself first of all, that live to serve, this was Hafiz Sahab, he would always be in the khidmat of others. One more point I would just mention, as a neighbor, whenever we would have a dawah, or whenever we would have ulama at the house, etc., and we would invite Hafiz Sahab, we always would come, alhamdulillah, we would always be part of the ulama fraternity. And he had one amazing thing that I really learned from him was, he wouldn't just simply ask you, Maulana, do you need anything? You know, many times we would ask, do you need... He would just come. Many times he would, whether it was drinks, or whether it was dessert, whatever it was, he would just bring it without any questions. And he would serve the people, you know, he would make it so much easier for myself. So live to serve, always be humble, and dedicate ourselves personally to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think these three statements can summarize the life of Hafiz Sahab. We make dua Allah ta'ala elevate his stages, inshallah, and keep the good work that he did alive till Qiyamah, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much more. Maulana Shakir Sahab, we had such a program, we just got about a minute and a half. Your closing remarks on the life of your uncle, perhaps an ustad also as well?
Maulana, in fact, I had about 10 points, and we didn't get a chance to mention any of them. Some of those points were discussed by the guests.
Two
things I want to quickly end off.
Sure, Maulana.
One is, you may have heard that there was a student of Hafiz Sahab who had a few pages left to finish the Quran. Actually, a few days after Hafiz Sahab had passed away, we had the completion of the Quran. And it was a happy and a sad occasion also that Hafiz Sahab, you know, wasn't there to witness the completion. But for myself, and I even mentioned this to Maulana Suleiman Bamjisnap, that my mind went to the words of Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali in Ma'riful Quran, where after completing the tafsir of Surah Bani Israel, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali has a footnote in Ma'riful Quran. And he mentioned that he has now completed 75 years of his life, and you know, at this time the thought of writing a tafsir, etc., is very far. But then he mentioned some golden words, when he mentioned that when it comes to the service of the Quran, when something is done in the name of the Quran, no matter how insignificant it becomes for a servant of Allah, a matter of good fortune and honor. And he mentioned that this now drove me to continue and start the tafsir of Surah Kahf. And he mentions there that the purpose and the object is not to finish the Quran, but the purpose is to consume one's years and energy into the Quran.
Allah,
so this is what I take, that Hafiz Sahab have finished that student, but he finished his life in the service of the Quran Kareem. And Maulana, I would like to just end off with one more thing quickly.
Sure.
And that is the Hafiz Sahab's display picture on WhatsApp. You know, and we can take this as a lesson for all of us looking at the life that he led, and whatever we are speaking of him, how highly we are speaking of him today. Hafiz Sahab's WhatsApp profile picture was a message that we need to constantly ask ourselves this question: is what I am doing today getting me closer to where I want to be tomorrow?
Allahu Akbar.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate Hafiz Sahab's stages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept all his khidmat, and Allah ta'ala grant us also the ability of following.
Ameen. Jazakallah so much, Maulana Shakir, my colleague and friend also, Maulana Shakir Hansa. Jazakallah for Maulana Ahmed Akku. He's been arranging the whole thing behind the scenes. Obviously, if there was more time, we would like to have got more guests as well as more points. Inshallah, we should try and make time in the future again. Next week, inshallah, we have confirmed, inshallah, we will try with the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak with Maulana Abdullah Kapodrawi rahmatullahi alayhi, the ustad of many that are here, senior ustad of our area, of the world as well. We have two ustads that have agreed, inshallah, pending their availability, and obviously, if nothing else comes about, they will come on. Some of the programs also that we had, inshallah, we will try and just make sure that we could listen to it and take out some of the points that were there as well. There's some jalsas that are happening. We will try and see, inshallah, if we can take some points. And inshallah, like that, we hope to relive the teachings of those that are or those that have passed on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill all the qabrs with nur. May Allah grant them the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah overlook all their shortcomings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that each one of us can be a means of sadqa jariyah for them. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.